Announced a couple weeks ago that I was going to do my best to not go through verse by verse and do those types of studies, which makes it a little difficult because you never really know when you're going to start and finish. But I hope that we'll have fun in doing some of the things that we're doing and maybe do something a little bit different. This morning is for sure different in the fact that I wanted to give opportunity for us to kind of get our brains working and thinking about stories that we've read, stories that we've heard. What got me thinking about this lesson was I was listening to some of Dwayne's VRBO lessons that Charles Fry was doing. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to Charles Fry, he, just like all the others, is very impressive to listen to. But he got on in early in Acts. He got on one of his jags where he just takes off and runs and starts talking about things off the top of his head. And he was talking about the number 40. And I don't know, Dwayne, if you remember that. It's hard to probably sit there and listen to all those and remember it. Yeah. But he talks about, literally from the top of his mind, how many times the number 40 is used in the Bible. And it really got me thinking because I thought it was neat. And I thought, well, that'd be a good study for me to go see how many times I can go find the number 40. And then I thought, this might be just a good lesson for us. So to kick this off, it's funny how these things work. But I got a little sidetracked and I started looking at a lot of numbers. But in the Bible, you know, there's various numbers and some that are significant, some that probably aren't at all. But I just grabbed a few that I thought would be worth us just talking about to get our minds rolling. And then the class is going to be a class, though. I mean, it really, what I want to do is list as many times as you can remember the number 40 being listed in the Bible. And then I see your brain's already working, so slow down. But and see how many times we can come up with them. And then what we'll do is we'll just read some of those instances and accounts. But I wrote down the number 2. When you think of this number, I thought of a couple of things that came to my mind. The word unity came to mind. Man and a woman, 2, will become one. One flesh, there in Genesis. 2, cannot walk together unless they agree. You can read that in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Animals were sacrificed in pairs or in twos. Animals were loaded into the ark by male and female by 2. The disciples and apostles were sent out in pairs. We can read that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. That's just one number that I was thinking about. There's probably other twos that you can think of. I'm not saying I'm listing them all. The number 3. Well, as I was thinking about the number 3, the Godhead. The number 3 is significant. We have the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We read many times about body, soul, and spirit. We also see where Peter, James, and John, those 3 were mentioned quite frequently. I'm certain that the number 3, we could spend, again, I'm not going to hone in on all these numbers because the number 40 is what we're going to spend the bulk of the time talking about, but I'm just giving you some things to think about. The number 7. The number 7 has a lot. I got sidetracked a little bit there, but some say the number 7 is a symbol of God and the Holy Spirit. 7 is reference you might think of as perfection or completeness. There are 7 days in a week. There, God rested on the 7th day. Jacob had 7 years of service to Laban. We read about a dream, 7 fatted calves and 7 lean, 7 trumpets. We had the 7 priests who sounded them. We had 7 branches of the golden candlestick. We had 7 days of, you could call it the siege of Jericho, 7 churches we read of, 7 spirits, 7 stars, 7 seals, and I'm in Revelation. And then the Lord is said to have had 7 spirits, we read. Again, I'm sure the number 7 is used way more. 7 lampstands, that just came to my mind. Were you going to, Maverick, were you going to add one?
7 clean animals.
There you go.
Going on the ark.
Good. Clean, yep. That's right. So not just the pairs, but we had 7. 7. That's good. Yeah, so feel free to add. Again, this is a class, so I'll look for your input. The number 10. Jesus frequently used the number 10 in parables. Egypt suffered through 10 plagues, 10 commandments. On the 10th day of the first month, the Passover lamb was offered. We read about a tithe or a tenth. The image that Daniel saw had 10 toes, if you remember. And in Revelation we read of the beast with the 10 horns. Okay? So, again, just kind of some fun stuff to go through here. The number 12, Jacob had 12 sons, which represent 12 tribes. There were 12 apostles. There's 12 months in a year. The day and the night were broken into two kind of 12-hour periods. So, we could have picked a ton of different numbers, and I know that you probably could have found more than I found. And like I said, that was when I got distracted off the number 40. So you come across the number, and you're like, oh yeah, that's a good number too. So, in thinking about the number 40, first of all, what I wanted to do, some talk about that being a definition or demonstrating completion or fulfillment. I think sometimes we can put a little bit too much emphasis in what we maybe think that certain numbers represent or mean. I'm not going to go into that, but I think, we read about how the number 40, well, first of all, how many times, let's do this. How many times do you think the number 40 is used in the Bible?
40.
Okay, well, no, but that would have been a good one. A lot more than that. Okay, well, it's funny because there's, I found one place there was 150 plus, I found 147, there's some that say, so somewhere around 150 times the number 40 is used. 40 was, let's see here, I wanted to make sure I don't leave anything out. Before we get into this, let's just go to our list and let's see off the top of our head how many things we can come up with, and I may not have them all, right? Because we're definitely not going to cover them all. So, be thinking about Old Testament first. Where do we find the number 40 used or referenced? And let's see if we can cross off most of my list.
Waiting for 40 days.
Okay, perfect. First one I had.
40 years.
Okay, 40 years for wandering.
Moses was 40, and then 80, and then died at 120.
Okay, so kind of the three, I have that here somewhere. Yeah, three
segments of both.
Yeah, three 40-year periods. Yep, that's what I had. Okay, good.
Well, wasn't 40 the number of men that Jethro advised he get to help lead the people whenever Moses was having trouble with handling it all?
I think you're right, and I'm not sure I had that here. But yes, I think you're right. And so as we go through stories, we might, if we have time, we'll reference that. What other 40?
Well, in the genealogy of Jesus, isn't it divided up into 40 generations?
Maybe. I didn't get into that, so I didn't put that down, but that's possible.
I may be wrong. It may not have been 40.
Okay.
Too much,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's in Matthew and Luke.
Okay.
David.
Okay, so I had that we, there were different kings who reigned for 40 years for sure, and there's more than David. I think there's like three total, but we'll get into that. What other things? How long did Noah wait before, so after the rain, wasn't there a mention of 40 days there as well? So it had rained, and then he waited for it to recede. And I think we're going to read about that, lowered below the trees, and I think he waited 40 days. Who went to the desert for 40 years to maybe hide out after they killed someone?
Moses.
Okay, Moses.
That was one of the middle period of his life.
Yep, okay.
Isn't that generation 40 years?
Yes, so that's another good one that I put down is.
There was 14 generations between Abraham.
Okay, there you go. That's right. All right, and I did have down the 40 years as a generation, so I think that's key. What else, Mike? Were you getting ready to say something?
I was going to say there's one here. You probably, this is a very minuscule thing, but in the building of the tabernacle on. In the curtains, there was, it's in Exodus 26. Anyhow, in this very lengthy description, they had 40 sockets of silver.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. 120 boards.
That was what, Exodus 26 and... Okay, I didn't have that, but again, and that, yeah.
I mean, that's just a,
no, yeah, yeah. Oh, there, and there's a lot of those. Like I say, I think I've only grabbed like 15, 18 that we were going to look at today, but if it's mentioned 146 times, you know there's tons of those like Mike just found, which is really cool. All right, what else? How many lashes could a man receive under...
39.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and then so the max, I think, did they...
Less
39 plus...
Less than 40.
Right, right. So was it... Maybe I'll have to look at that again. I've got it referenced, but I knew that you could not get more than 40. So maybe it was
maybe, yeah, maybe,
39
maybe
plus 1.
40,
but they
sometimes the
right
whips with 13 strings
right
piece and three times in that way.
And they didn't want to exceed the number.
40.
Right. Yep. Okay. We'll look at that. How long did they spy out the land, the Israelites? 40 days. Yep, okay, good. That's a good one. How about a big figure who taunted a small little boy? How many days did he come and taunt him? I think it was 40 days, right?
David.
Yep, yep, Goliath, David and Goliath. let's see. Somebody ate a cake. Who ate a cake to sustain them for 40 days? Anybody remember that story? We'll get to that. Elijah. There was some prophetic mentions in Ezekiel and Jonah that we're going to look at. Okay, let's go to New Testament. I think the main Old Testament ones that we've mentioned. What about New Testament?
Christ fasting in the desert 40 days.
Okay. All right. I don't know, and outside of then Moses being mentioned, the breakup of the three times, I don't know that I had any more than that. So, okay, let's just get in and read some of these just to remind us. But I, again, this is more for fun, but it will bring to light some stories that maybe we haven't thought about for a long time. So I'll need some help because, one, I'm losing my voice a little bit, and two, there's a lot to read here. So, let's go to, I'll call out four, and then maybe we'll just have everybody try to break up and read some. Somebody go to Genesis chapter 7, verse 12. Someone go to Genesis chapter 8, verses 5 through 7. And then someone go to Acts, let's not go to Acts yet. And then let's go to Exodus chapter 24, verse 18. And I'll actually turn to Acts because it is talking about Moses there. So, okay, someone read Genesis chapter 7, verse 12.
And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights.
Okay, yep, just a quick reminder there, which we got that one right off the bat. Okay, how about the next thing about Noah, Genesis chapter 8, verses 5 through 7.
And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. First day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Then he sent out a raven which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth.
Okay, so here's that 40-day period that I was talking about. So I don't know, was that 40 days after it stopped raining or 40 days when he saw the mountaintops probably? But
it was 40 days after the 10th month.
Okay, yeah, so...
Because the water has covered the earth for almost a year.
Almost a year, yeah, that's right, yeah. So, it took that long for him to see the tops of the mountains and the trees and everything, yeah, so... And then he waited 40 days before doing that. Okay, someone, Exodus chapter 24, verse 18.
Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights.
Okay, we could read more of that story, but we know that story. It's a good one, and he was up there for 40 days. In Acts, and for those who are taking notes, in Acts chapter 7, verse 30, this is the reference for when Moses killed the Egyptian. But it says, and when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and wait a second. No, that's not it. But... This is the, when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame on fire, a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight, and he drew near to observe the voice of the Lord and came. So, maybe, let me backtrack here a little bit. It's sad, you got all these verses and you put the wrong... I mean, that is a reference in the 40, but that's not the one I was looking for. So I'll circle back after I get some more to look at. Okay, let's go to... will someone go to Deuteronomy chapter 9 and read verses 11 and 18? Deuteronomy 9, 11, 18, and 25. And then someone go to Deuteronomy 10 and 10. And then someone else, Deuteronomy 25 and 3. So we'll stay in Deuteronomy for a while.
And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin, which you committed in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Thus I prostrated myself before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. I kept prostrating myself because the Lord had said he would destroy you.
Okay. Was that through verse 25? Okay. So there's many references to his 40 days and 40 nights. Somebody have Deuteronomy 10 and 10?
I stayed on the mountain 40 days and nights as I did the first time, and the Lord listened to me at this time also. It was not his will to destroy you.
Okay. So the second time that he went up, and reference to his 40 days and 40 nights. All right, someone read Deuteronomy 25 and 3.
40 blows he may give him and no more, lest he should exceed this and beat him with many blows. Above these and your brother, be humiliated in your sight.
Okay, so I think this goes back to what Mike was saying. They did not even want to push the boundary of those 40, so they had many times, I think this was referenced in, was it your lesson or somebody else had lesson where they talked about the 13, three different with 13, so they just wanted to make sure they stayed under the 30, or the 40, stay at 39, so there's reference to 40. All right, let's go to, did I have someone in Deuteronomy 8, 2 through 5? And then someone Numbers 13, 2, and 25. This tells us a little bit about the spies. So
2 through 5, 8.
Deuteronomy 8, 2 through 5.
Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep this command. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and to
Okay, thank you. Who's got Numbers 13, 2, and 25? And while someone's looking for that, let's turn to Numbers 32 and 13.
Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. At the end of 40 days, they return from exploring the land.
Okay, so here we have the spies who are sent out, and we're looking at the land there. Was that Numbers 32:13?
No. Well, the Lord's anger was aroused against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone.
Okay, so there's that reference to a generation being, 40 years. As well. So, okay. Let's see here. I'm trying to make sure we don't miss any. Backtrack a little bit. There's a little bit of a reading, but let's go to Numbers chapter 14. And this is where Israel is rebelling against God. I don't know that we need to read all this, but I had 11 through 35. Let's see if we can condense that. Numbers chapter 14. Um, Yeah, we don't need to read all that. But if somebody want to read 20 through 35, that might be good to catch us up. Does anybody want to care to read that? Numbers 14, 20 through 35.
Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him to the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn and move out into the wilderness by way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to the entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephthah, and Joshua, the son of Nun, that you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, and your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. But your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness.
That's good enough. So. Yeah, go ahead. I like it through 35.
Well, verse 34 tells us
why. Yeah, I was going to say, through 35 is good.
Okay, according to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall reject. You shall know my rejection. I, the Lord, have spoken this. I surely will do it to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me.
So for those of us who are parents and we discipline our kids and they do something and we send them to their rooms, maybe we should remind them that, hey, 1 day equaled a year here, so if you don't push it. You're going to be in your room a long time. Okay, that's a good one, a long reading, but thank you for reading that, Ben. Okay, let's get into what Karen had mentioned. I think it's 3 or 4 different leaders who ruled for 40 years. So someone turned to 1 Samuel 4 and 18. Someone else, Acts 13 and 21. Someone else, 2 Samuel 5, 4. And then the last one I had, 1 Kings 11, 42.
So 1 Samuel 4, 18?
Yes. This should be about Eli, I think.
Then it happened, when he made mention of the ark of God, that Eli fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck was broke, and he died. For the man was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years.
Okay. A, that's a good story to remember and how he died, but B, he had ruled for 40 years. Okay, so we got Eli. Who wants to read about Saul in Acts 13:21?
And afterward they asked for a king, so God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years.
Okay, all right, so there's our second one. How about David? 2 Samuel 5 and 4.
David was 30 years old when his reign began, and he reigned 40 years.
Okay, so he reigned until he was 70. All right, and then somebody read about Solomon in 1 Kings 11, 42. Okay, right. I'm sure there were others, right? But those are the ones that I caught that had a 40-year reign. So a generation, as was pointed out. Okay, someone go to Judges 13 and 1. And then let's go to 1 Samuel 17. There's a little bit of reading here, 11 through 16. Will someone read that? So Judges 13, 1, 1 Samuel 17, 11 through 16, and then the last one I had here before we get into a story that I thought of when I thought of Dwayne, 1 Kings 19:4 through 8.
Judges 13.
1. Okay.
And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years.
Okay. Yep. So there we have the setup for that. All right. And then Goliath taunting the army. Let's go to 1 Samuel 17. Who's got that? 11 through 16.
For when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephraite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons, and the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eli, the firstborn, next to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening.
Okay. All right, good. Thank you for that. All right, so for 40 days, you had this giant coming and taunting them, and finally worked, but only to his death. All right, someone, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 4 through 8. I wish we all need a piece of cake that would last us for 40 days.
While he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said, "take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God.
Okay, cool. So another neat story, another neat miracle, but here he eats some cake and has a little water and is sustained for 40 days. Who was he fleeing from? Does anybody remember who Elijah was fleeing from at that point?
Jezebel.
Yeah, Jezebel. Okay, good. All right, so this next story got me thinking about Dwayne, and unfortunately, if he wasn't seeing double, I'd have him read it. But, you know, I was thinking about how difficult it is to have your head down for 2 weeks. 2 weeks, I was thinking, how difficult that would be. And Mark, you know, you've had a similar deal, but how difficult that is. Someone go to Ezekiel chapter 4 and read verses 4 through 8. And then someone, Ezekiel chapter 29, 11 through 16.
Ezekiel 4, 4 through 8.
Yes.
"Lie also on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of the days you lie on. You shall bear their iniquity. For I have laid on you the years of their iniquity, according to the number of days, 399 days. So it shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when you have completed them, lie again on your right side, and you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have laid on you a day for each year. Therefore you shall set your face toward the siege of Jerusalem. Your arms shall be uncovered, and you shall prophesy against me. And surely I will restrain you so that you cannot turn from one side to another until you have ended the days of your siege."
Okay. So, Dwayne, can you imagine laying on your side for that period of time?
Yeah.
You talked about how weak you are this morning, just lack of just being up and around. Imagine.
Oh, yeah. I went with Thea, and we went over to Stacy's place and was doing some cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, I can do this. And then about half an hour, my legs started trembling, and I had to sit down.
Right.
I was just
pooped after 2 weeks.
Laying on my left side and looking down.
Right. So, anyway, I thought about you as we're reading this. All right, somebody go to 29, 11 through 16 of Ezekiel.
Before you
yes.
This,
yeah.
This is second example of this study of a time when God used a day to represent a year.
Yeah.
And it just becomes important later on in prophecy, which we probably won't get to in this study, but where we see days represented, that then we can understand that God is using a day to represent a year.
Year, yeah, for sure.
Another thing about the word 40.
Yeah.
The word 40 is called a cardinal number.
Okay.
And a cardinal number is like, when we use the word cardinal rules.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking, that has a meaning, and here are some of the meanings. Fundamental, basic, main, chief, primary, crucial, pivotal, prime, principal, paramount, preeminent, highest, key, essential.
Mm-hmm.
So, before, I can't remember the significance that Charles wove into his lesson about 40. I was trying to remember.
Oh, he was so fast through that phase, yeah.
But I'm sure there's a lot of theological terms, but, you know, I think this was a very important number.
Yeah, I remember him talking about a principal number or a fundamental. It seemed like he kind of keyed in on that being, you know, his basis for why he got sidetracked. And I don't even know that I picked up all his. It just got me sent off in my own study. But it is. Like you say, the cardinal rule. That's what it represents, the 40. Okay, good. I had not put that together. All right, does someone have 29, 11 through 16?
Neither foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast pass through it, and it shall be uninhabited for 40 years. I will make the land be desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and among the cities that are laid waste, her city shall be desolate 40 years. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and disperse them throughout the countries. Yet thus says the Lord God, at the end of 40 years, I will gather the Egyptians from the peoples among whom they are scattered. I will bring them back captives of Egypt and cause them to return to the land of Pathros, to the land of their origin, and there they shall be a lowly kingdom. It shall be the lowest of kingdoms. It shall never again exalt itself above the nations, for I will diminish them, so that they will not rule over the nations anymore. No longer shall it be a confidence of the house of Israel, but will remind them of their iniquity when they turned to follow them. Then they shall now know that I am Lord God.
Okay, and this is another prophecy. Of course, I've coupled three together here of prophecies, but you know, that number 40 again, so the land was going to be desolate for 40 years, and so a whole generation, and then it talks about future generations there as well. Someone have Jonah? Let's go to Jonah chapter 3. I think this is the last Old Testament one I had. Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Again, another prophecy. 1 through 4.
Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah rose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown."
Okay, so he went crying that. 40 days is how long you have. All right, into the New Testament, we had mentioned the 40 days and 40 nights. Of course, that's in Matthew. We can find it multiple places, but Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, we have another 40 days here that is connected to Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "To whom he had also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of hand." So here we have that 40 days between the resurrection and his ascension.
that 40 days after he was resurrected, the resurrection of Christ is such an important thing that I think those 40 days kind of signify and bear that out a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. And then Acts chapter 7, verse 23 through 36, we won't read it, but this is the one where Mike and Karen had mentioned about Moses' life being divided into three distinct 40-year periods. So you can read that. Acts chapter 7, if you're taking notes, verses 23 through 36. Okay, so I'm going to pause. We have like 3, 4, 5 minutes left at most. What number 40 or other significant numbers did you think of while we were doing this study that you want to point out? Anything else?
Well, I walked through this same kind of study with the junior high school class downstairs.
Okay.
And really, every number from 1 to 10, there's some meaning in it, right? So 4 generally represents the number of the earth, right? There's 4 corners, there's 4 winds, there's 4
good
directions. So I'm trying to think. 8 is usually a number of salvation,
right?
Because there were 8 souls that were
on the ark. Yep.
That were on the ark.
Yep.
And I can't remember all of them. 9, I think, was the number that doesn't belong to God, because I think an example of that is, you know, there were 10 lepers, and 9 came back, or 1 came back to the Lord, but 9 did not.
9 didn't.
And then there was a couple other examples of that.
Huh. Okay.
I don't remember.
It's okay.
All the others.
Yeah.
12 is another one. There's 12.
Yeah.
Tribes, and 12 apostles.
Yeah.
12 gates to the city.
I didn't have the 12 gates when I was. Yeah.
The city was 144, in the language.
Right, divided by 12,
1,000 furlongs, which is divisible by
12. I didn't have the 12 gates. That's a good one. Okay.
There are 24 elders in Revelation.
Probably.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it's possible.
There's one God, one way to God.
Yeah.
Judge.
Yeah, in my I took out the number 1 because I got way sidetracked on that one, but yeah, it's good.
I kind of see it as twofold. One is there is some significance and special meaning to the number 40. You know, why God chose that number, it's kind of speculation, but we do see it over and over. I think the second thing is just the consistency of using that number through thousands and thousands of years,
sure,
simply demonstrates the sovereignty of God, and that He has a pattern and He is in control of everything from the physical, from nature to world events and everything else. So it's not only is it possibly a special number, but it demonstrates the sovereignty of God.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
A little bit wrong in Revelation. I'll go back a little bit. Of course, there was 12 tribes of Israel, 12 gates, 12 angels, an angel in each gate of it was. The city laid out a square 100. He measured 12,000 furlongs, length, breadth, and height are equal.
There is 100.
And the wall was 144 cubits.
Okay. I knew there was a reference to that because it was divisible by 12.
Furlongs, but cubits.
Yeah, okay.
And then Jesus told the 12 apostles they'll be sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, which launches into a whole different deal that I'll just throw out there. I was talking to Tom Dennis the other day. We were talking about, will it be degrees of punishment in heaven and hell? I said, but if the apostles are on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, that's not a physical thing that's going to happen, but it indicates authority of some type or structure in heaven. And, it kind of makes me wonder. It's a different subject.
Yeah.
Chapter 4 brought up the 24 elders.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, good. Well, I hope this, again, it was something fun, I hope, but I hope it jogged your mind into maybe diving a little bit more into numbers and go read some of these stories that are very, very meaningful. And I think to Eric's point, there is a reason the number 40 is used and used frequently. So hopefully that will spur your own conversation. So thanks for your participation. Help me read. We'll take a short break.